In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I'd never heard of an organisation or a company called CrowdStrike until Friday. But we know that at least 5,000 flights were cancelled, and you couldn't get to pay by card in supermarkets, and healthcare systems were disrupted. There were people here who work in a bank who said, "We can't work today," who came to Little Steps on Friday because of the disruption caused by the outage. And it affected millions of people across our planet. And when these things happen, you realize how vulnerable things really are. And you think to yourself, what have we surrendered ourselves to? There was a time, I remember going in Sri Lanka with Kulin some years back. We went to a little village, and there was a well, and they grew their own fruit and vegetables, and they had livestock. They educated their young, and it was wonderfully completely self-sufficient. But now we live in a global village, and there are some advantages to that. But the danger is that we've surrendered ourselves to things that are completely out of our control, that can disrupt our life, that can affect whole nations. We need to be very careful what we've surrendered ourselves to without even knowing. It has huge implications for armaments. Are they safe? Huge implications for the economy. Is that safe? And as we've seen on Friday, huge implications for healthcare as well. CrowdStrike. It's a good name for that organization. And by the way, it's so important if you think about what we surrender ourselves, why we gather here today and we commit ourselves once again to the Christian faith. We say the creed together, we pray together, we read scripture, Christian scriptures, because it is these things actually that sustain our society. If you remember, I said last week, it's the glue that keeps everything together. People are beginning to realize that we actually live in what we might call a Christian goldfish bowl. People go about their lives, and all the time they assume behaviors, the way that we treat each other, kindness, fairness, human rights, care for the young, care for the old. We've assumed these things have always been there. The glue that holds our society together. But you know, these things haven't always been there. These have come about in Western civilization through the advent of Christendom and through Jesus. It began with the Jesus movement. We read in our gospel today, he had compassion on them. That word compassion is a deeply Christian word because most civilizations didn't really have compassion for anybody. All they were really concerned about was their own living and getting on with their own life and competing. The whole idea of caring for somebody who was sick, looking after the young, looking after the elderly, is all deeply Christian. And our society actually lives all of us, and we choose our behaviors and we think our behaviors and we judge one another by those behaviors, because actually what we do is all the time we're assuming a Christian goldfish bowl. We don't realize that these things have come to be so much part of it, but they are deeply Christian. Let me give you an example. Where do we get the whole idea of human rights? The idea of human rights, that you have human rights. There's not a day that goes by if you don't hear some politician or somebody commenting on the importance of human rights because we are equal. Now, where does that come from? The whole idea of human rights comes from the Christian tradition. It comes from the Christian tradition because we believe that we are made in the image of God, and you are as important as I am important. And we are all equal together because we are children of God. That is a deeply Christian belief, and it is not in other cultures. Made in the image of God. Deeply rooted. So the reason this is important is that if we surrender ourselves to another worldview and we go somewhere else and we reject the Christian faith, what are the implications for our behaviors towards one another, the way that we construct society, the way that we value the young and the old, the way that we care? What happens to human rights? People don't realize, actually, that you can be sleepwalking your way into disaster in the way that we saw on Friday, because we've often surrendered ourselves to a worldview, actually, that is no longer Christian. It has huge implications for the way that we will be in the future. It might not happen now, but it has huge implications for the future. Let me give you an example again. An archaeologist discovers a new city. How do they decide that this city is pre-Christian or post-Christian? Think about that. How do they decide this city is pre-Christian or post-Christian? Well, there might be Christian symbols. It might be places of worship. But the standard way that they would assess as to whether or not a city was pre-Christian or post-Christian was the number of baby skeletons that they would find in the sewerage system. Think about that. Because you see, pre-Christian societies didn't value the infant in the way that Christian society did. Because the child is made in the image of God, it has human rights. And so the young were often discarded, particularly if they weren't healthy in body, mind, and spirit. They were discarded. The number of skeletons of babies in the sewerage system was a marker as to whether or not this city and culture was pre-Christian or post-Christian. Infanticide. We have to be very careful about what we surrender ourselves to. And when Jesus goes about his ministry, he sees the crowd and he says they're like a sheep without a shepherd. We live in a world now where there don't seem to be many shepherds. We are like sheep without a shepherd. People are behaving out there in a Christian way, but they don't know why they're behaving like that, because it is not really rooted. They have no real reason. And the reason is actually Christianity. So if you discard the bedrock, the rest will crumble. So that's why we are concerned with people who are sick. Compassion on the sick. Jesus' ministry reaches out to the sick because they have significance despite their sickness. That's why he holds the children and looks after the elderly and the young, because they are important. He has compassion on them. That's why in between this story here, there's two stories that we've merged together in our gospel reading, the beginning at the end of this chapter, is the feeding of the 5,000, because Christ is concerned with our physical needs and not just our spiritual needs. All of this came out of the Christian tradition. There's a book that's, if you like reading heavyweight books, a wonderful book written by a historian just recently called Tom Holland. You're not sure what to read over the holidays if you're going away or even during August? Read this wonderful tome by Tom Holland, Dominion. And it's a history of how our culture came about and how it's thoroughly rooted in the Christian faith, the goldfish bowl, and the implications of what it will mean if we discard that culture for all of us and for our children and our grandchildren as we go forward. Dominion. If you can't be bothered to read the book, just go onto YouTube, put in Tom Holland, historian, and you'll find wonderful interviews. This has been a landmark book that has shaped people and shocked people because people had not realized how significant Christianity had been to the whole of the building of our culture. And the danger is we will surrender ourselves to something else. Sleepwalk into it without realizing the implications of that. That's called a crowd strike. So, I'm glad that you're here to sing the praises of God. Wonderful singing today, thank you. That last hymn, glorious things of thee are spoken. See, what we do here, you might think, oh, well, this is a church service. No, it's much more than that. We are here reinforcing the importance of Christendom, belief in God, that sustains our families, our community, our culture, our country, our world. Otherwise, we end up with a crowd strike. That's why prayer is so important. That's why it's important that we fill these empty seats. That's why it's important the nation comes back to God. Because without it, what will sustain us? So thank you for coming. I was listening on Friday to a YouTube of a church in India. Who's from India today? Put your hand up. Anybody else? Wonderful service in India. The church was packed. Beautiful musicians. And they were singing glorious things of thee are spoken. And I thought, well, thank God that this Christendom has reached all nations. That together we've become citizens of the kingdom of God. And when the Ephesian writer Paul, when he writes this, he says that we have become fellow citizens. They had a new citizenship, not Rome any longer, but citizens in Christ. And that meant that slaves, citizens in Christ. It meant that women, citizens in Christ. It gave them a new identity. Don't surrender your life to things that you really can't trust. Remain prayerful and faithful and steadfast for the Christian faith. This is the dominion that sustained us. Read this book, listen to it on YouTube. And never take for granted what we do here. It's life itself. Amen. So let's stand and say the creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come to pray, so please sit or kneel as Robert leads us.
This is a summer of sport. We've had Wimbledon and Henley and the Euros. We're having the Grand Prix, the Test, the Open for golf, cycling and the Tour de France. To come, we have the Olympics and the Paralympics, and of course, importantly, our holiday club. We are all engaged in sport, in the race for life. As Paul said, he had run the race, he had fought the fight. And let us not underestimate the soft power of sport, the exchange of ideas and influence and goodwill and strengthening international relations and peace. And so in these prayers, although they focus on sport, let us pray for the needs of the world. God of life and energy, thank you for the joy of sport, whether we do it or watch it. We recognize what a hold it has over so many of us, and delight in the exhilaration and release it gives. Thank you for the amazing capacity of the human body, the speed, strength, and stamina it can achieve, the flexibility, grace, and skill it can develop, and the lessons we can learn from the disciplines of training and from working fluently as a team. May we never take for granted the wonder of the human body and its capacity for giving us pleasure through sport. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life and energy, we know that sport carries a risk of injury and sometimes catastrophic damage. We know also that risk is a necessary component of freedom. We pray for those who have suffered lasting incapacity through sport, rugby players, racing drivers, skiers, boxers, climbers. We pray too for those who bring high-level skill to repair the damage, and for those who care for them over long years, for those who rescue and answer the calls of need. We pray that you will build other resurrections into their lives and sustain their love of sport. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life and energy, we confess that corruption in the use of drugs and the misuse of money creeps into sport as into so many institutions. We pray that you will disturb the consciences of perpetrators and strengthen the skills of regulators so that the high ideals of sport can be sustained and the original blessings of sport can be enjoyed. We pray especially for those international events taking place and for our holiday club. In particular, we pray for the young, for the purity of their pleasure in sport and the protection of their enthusiasm. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life and energy, many of us have favorite sports stars. The pressures on them are often huge, from the expectations of others as well as their own, and from the commercial and media circus that often surrounds them. So we pray now for one or two of our favourite sports people, for protection and integrity in the midst of those pressures, praying that they may be able to give of their best and, if possible, achieve their dream. We name them now in our hearts in silence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those we know unable to take part now in physical activity through illness or other physical or mental difficulty. We bring to you especially our friends Juliet Barton, Ralph Bedford, Elizabeth Bellow, Susan Brown, Robinson and Rabina Iseni, for Sue Nichols, Pam Story, and Angela Zadurian, all who are ill or in other type of need, for their recovery, inspiration, and hope according to your will. And we honour those who have run the race and fought the fight of life and are now in your eternal rest. Especially we remember Florence Clench, Marion Perry, John Cattermole, Gurdy Merritt, and Yvonne Brain, whose anniversaries fall at this time. Together with those who mourn them, rest eternal grant to them, and let light perpetual shine upon them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.